What's the 411? You tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, producer of 411 Teen. Joining me at the round table, I welcome Jason McCullough. Jason hails from Savannah. He's a sophomore majoring in physical therapy.
Hey, how are you doing, Dr. Hollyfield? Glad to be here with you.
Glad to have you. Michael Roberts, originally from California, is a freshman in pre-nursing.
Hi, glad to be here.
Glad to have you, too. Michelle Basson, Mariana, freshman, physical therapy.
Hi, let me shout out to my girl Sierra at FAMU.
Takiya Allen, from Eustis, Florida, freshman, pre-nursing.
Hello, Dr. Hollyfield. Thanks for having me today.
Ashley Brock, Mount Dora, pre-nursing.
Hello, Dr. Hollyfield.
Azanay Solomon, Dallas, psychology.
Hello, everybody. Shout out to Dallas, the 214. Thank you for having me here today.
Well, I look forward to talking with all of you. So welcome very much to 411 Teen. Communication is defined as the transmission or exchange of thoughts, messages, or information, as defined by speech, signal, or writing. Communication breakdowns occur often. Maybe the message you send is unclear, or the receiver misreads or misinterprets the information, or a little bit of both. Intergenerational communication between teens and parents or adults in their lives, particularly parents, may be strained. It may be difficult, or sometimes it may just seem absolutely impossible. What can you do to improve communication with each other? How do parents and teens get on the same page? And how do you handle these communication breakdowns? We're going to explore communication issues with parents and adults. How would you describe your communication with your parents? And doesn't matter. Ashley, I'm looking at you, so I'll start at you, and we'll just go around the table and hear what everyone has to say.
Okay, well, my communication with my mom, it's real great. When she was younger, she never had a mother figure to talk to. Her brothers pretty much raised her. So when I was young, she promised me that I can come to her about anything. She would never judge me about anything. And recently, I had a problem I went to her about, and she went through the same thing when she was younger. So it was real easy to talk to her and see how she felt about it. So now I feel like I can come to her about anything.
Okay. All right. What's been your experience, Takiya?
Talking to my mom is like, it's really good, but sometimes since I'm youngest, like, she still look at me as in like a baby figure. So, mm-hmm. like, I have to, like, keep expressing that I'm 18 now and I'm grown. Like, I can, like, make my decisions now. I like that you're guiding me along the way, but you have to back down some because, like, you can't baby me the long way. I got to learn myself. So it's pretty good.
Okay. All right.
Well, the line of communication between me and my mother hasn't always been so good. Now that I'm 19, we're kind of going into, like, we can talk about everything and laugh and joke and kind of be friends. Mm-hmm. But growing up, when she was little, her mother never really talked to her, so if I wanted to talk to her, it was kind of like, well, here comes my punishment, knowing that whatever I just did, I'm going to get in trouble for her. So I never really used to talk to my mom. There was nothing going on there.
Yeah, why tell her about it, huh? That's what it sounds like. Jason.
Mom's pretty good. I mean, I'm really close with my mom and my dad. I probably talk to one of them every day. Mm-hmm. You know, it was rough growing up. Because my dad was in the military, so he was really hard. So, you know, there's a lot of times where I was, like, you know, in my room packing up my toys and my books. And I was like, Mom, we're about to run away. We're going to Grandma's house, you know. But now he's, like, my best friend, you know. There's still a lot of times where, like, I'll tell them some stuff, but I don't tell them everything because I'm grown. I take care of everything by myself, so I don't really need them for a lot of stuff. But, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good having them around.
Well, we're going to tap into some of those things because some of our listening audience may be able to glean some insight, you know, as to how things have changed. How about you, Michelle?
Me and my dad have really, really good communication now, but my mom passed away in 2010. And growing up, we did not have that communication at all.
Really?
Yeah, but now that like, I just have my dad, mm-hmm. like, that's all that matters.
Okay, so you have really open and good communication.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael.
When I was younger, me and my mom had, you know, difficult times because, like, I'm her only son. So me growing up now, you know, it got a lot better. Like, I still can't tell her some things because coming to her, it feels funny talking to her about different girls and, mm-hmm. and all that type of stuff. But other than that, me and my mom is pretty cool.
Okay, that sounds good. What I'd like to do is take a closer look at the communication, because all of you have said, yeah, it's good, but there's been some little areas where maybe it was a little bit touchy. And that's what we want to look at, those areas where there may have been some problems, how you made it through those hoops, how you jumped those hoops and made it better. I mean, for example, you as an A were saying, yeah, it wasn't always that great. I mean, things have improved. When you think about the communication breakdowns or the issues or the concerns or the misunderstandings that you have experienced in the past, what do you think was going on? And by that, I mean, do you think it was you and the way you were presenting? I mean, one thing that parents often say that just irritates them is that word when a student or the their child responds, whatever. Okay, and we all know what whatever means, you know. But let's look at more closely some of the communication problems that you experienced. I might start with you, Michelle, because you talked about how you and your mom didn't gel. Okay, and what do you think was going on? I mean, was it the topic? Are there certain topics that you feel cause a problem and they're unable to discuss? Or is it timing? Just look at what was happening.
My mom had me when she was, like, probably almost 30. Mm-hmm. But when she was growing up, like, my whole family on her side, she had 7 siblings and 1 brother. They're all sisters, but they all tell me, like, my mom and me were nothing alike. Like, we look alike, but when she grew up, she didn't feel the need to go out. She didn't feel the need to hang out with friends. She was, like, into her horse. Like, she had one horse growing up, you know. Mm-hmm. That's all she and her sisters and them did.
So it sounds like you're saying the problem was you couldn't relate. You couldn't connect.
Exactly.
Okay, she couldn't appreciate where you were going from, where you were coming from, because you were in 2 different worlds, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. What about you, Mike?
Well, growing up, like, I grew up without my father, so.
Okay.
Like, I just had my mother, so basically, I was a mama's boy, so I told my mama everything. And, like, when I got older, you know, being around my friends, stuff like that, you know, uh-huh. picking up their habits, seeing them with their fathers and stuff like that, you know, kind of made me miss out. And I kind of, you know, in a way, blame my mom for that, you know, not telling me right away. But, you know, we worked on it, and we're better now, so.
And when you say you worked on it, what kind of things did you do? I mean, that's what I'm trying to look at. What was it that happened, or maybe a series of things? May not be any one specific thing. Maybe it was just you maturing, okay? Or your mom becoming more sensitive. But when you think about where you are now and where you may have been, what are the kinds of things you can identify that may have improved your communication, you know, that may have made it better? And I'll come back to you. You can think about that and come back. But what are those things? Ashley.
I guess growing up, like, getting mature and stuff, you learn, like, different approaches to approach someone with, like, I guess younger, like, you just blurt it out. You don't know what you're saying. You just saying stuff. And mm-hmm. when you get older, you kind of understand more things, and it's easier to talk about it. Like, you know what to say, you know what not to say, and when to say it. And
mm-hmm.
So
you have, what I hear you saying is you kind of assess the situation.
Yeah.
And you know when to talk about certain things and how to approach. And that's another part of communication, and that's really important. And that comes with what? Maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so once again, I'm the baby. So the way I usually approach my mom is, that's not fair. All the other kids are doing it. So sooner or later, she had to, like, talk to me about it, because, like, I wasn't getting why I couldn't do the things that the other kids, and, like, kids would tell me their parents talked about different things with them. And I was like, my mom would never talk about these things with me because she still look at me as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So still to this day, like, we don't talk about, like, big things. Like, but, like,
you got to tell me when you say big things. I don't know.
Like, we couldn't talk about, like, sex, birth control, like, things like that. She just still don't look at me like I'm mature enough for that. I'm still, like, a baby. Or, like, my relationships. Like, she still think I can't talk to this dude or, like, older guys. Like, it's kind of weird, but...
How do you handle that? How do you get around that? Of course, you're not there 24/7 anymore.
I just try to avoid it. Like, I wouldn't tell her who I'm talking to because I'm legally grown, but she still feel like if you can't pay your own bills or buy your food, you're not grown. But she have to understand that I'm mature now. And, like, I should be able to make my own decisions and, like, learn from my own problems and the things I come to. She just still don't get that. So I just try to avoid it.
She just doesn't get it.
I just try to avoid it.
Have you ever approached her with trying to open up the communication?
Like, she approached me once, but she was like, we need to talk. And I was like, about what? And I was like, I hope it's not about a guy that I'm talking to. She's like, yes, him. I just want the best for you. And I'm like, well, I'm 18. Can I at least decide what the best is for me? Like, I can talk to any boy and they can do, like, hurt me. And can I just decide? Like, I don't understand. Like, but I just try to avoid it.
Okay. And I guess by avoiding it, you just don't talk about it.
Yeah, I just keep it out of the conversation. I said, who's your dating? Just keep it out of the conversation.
Okay. Isn't it?
Well, kind of like Michael, my father wasn't in the home. My parents got a divorce when I was about 8. And I love my dad so much. I was a daddy's girl. And so part of me not really knowing, I blame my mom. And so that's where our whole problems came in at. And then I want to say when I was about 14, 15, somewhere in high school, I just started acting out really bad. And the thing that solved our problem, we went to a therapist. We sat down and actually talked about, well, why are you doing this to your mom? Or why are you not doing this? And kind of worked out our problems.
Okay, and that sounds like that opened up the communication mm-hmm. channels for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had some added insight
mm-hmm.
and understanding into why you were doing what you were doing. I mean, right. Is that an accurate
right.
assessment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This hour, we are looking at communication issues between young folks and their parents. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and my 411 Teen panelists this hour are Ezine Solomon, Ashley Brock, Takia Allen, Michelle Basson, Michael Roberts, and Jason McCullough. When we talk about communication, so often we say communication and we think it's about what we're saying. You know, it's always about what we're saying. But communication also includes nonverbal communication. I mean, when you first see someone, before they have said anything, you kind of size them up. We all do it, right? Folks can't see you, but big smile went on folks' faces. What I want to do is talk about nonverbal communication. What are the various aspects of the person that you assess, what they tell you about someone? So, Jason, I'll start with you. Before you've had any type, transmitted any expressions or feelings or emotion, and you're just looking at that person, what are the things that you look at that kind of tell you, give you some information about the person?
I mean, I guess I could look at, you know, how they're dressed, how they walk. I mean, you know, I guess kind of just size them up for the most part. I mean, I feel like, you know, that first impression is everything.
Okay, let's look at dress then. What does dress say to you? I mean, when you say how they're dressed, what kinds of things do you look at to determine how someone is dressed?
I mean, I can't stand the whole pants thing. Like, I'm tired of looking at people's underwear, and I hate it. It's just, it's just not my thing. I can't handle it.
Okay, so that automatically says something to you about it. And I don't blame you. I can see where you're coming from. But that automatically will say something to you about somebody.
I mean, okay. We don't have nothing to talk about.
Like, there's nothing that we can talk about at all. Okay. For the rest of you, what does dress say? What significance, what importance does dress play in your communications or establishing communication with some? I'm looking at you, Ashley, and it looks like you have something you want to say.
I was going to say, like, if I'm looking at a guy, I look at their shoes. Like, you can't have dirty shoes. Like, it's just a big, I don't know. Like, it just shows that, well, to me, it shows, like, you don't keep yourself, you need to keep yourself up. Like, you're a guy, like, clean your shoes. Get new shoes. Do something. I just can't stand dirty shoes.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a big pet peeve for me.
How do you feel about the baggy, saggy pants?
Gosh. I was raised in a church, so I'm just big on, I don't want to see your underwear either. Like, cover yourself up. And no one wants to see that.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good topic because people, you know, it's what's happening today, okay? And it really does have a real negative connotation. I mean, people look at it, and they certainly don't look at it on a positive light. So I just want to feel from you all, you know, you young folks, what does that say to you? How do you feel about
baggy pants?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't really think
too
much.
Does it send a message to you about anything, or are you done?
It could, but then you have to think about the backgrounds. Like, if someone was raised around, like, everyone wearing baggy pants, like, that's what they're going to grow up to do. Like, they haven't had to figure that, wear their pants up. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't, like, automatically judge them because, like, you never know where they come from or what they experience. So I get to know them first, but then, like, if they look the way they act or act the way they look, then I take the baggy pants under consideration. Like.
Okay. Michelle, what does dress, what does attire say to you? What message does it send to you about that person?
I find confidence very attractive, and usually guys have a lot of confidence. They dress nice, and they carry themselves upright. They don't...
They can't see that. They can't see that.
I don't know what you want to call that, but... I just don't like the slouch. Like, I like how people carry themselves more than anything.
So, okay. Michael.
With baggy pants, I really don't mind it. I mean, I don't want to see it. I know everybody else doesn't want to see it, but like Takia was saying, it depends, like, how you grew up and where you're from.
Well, in addition to the baggy pants, what kind of things catch your attention? What does the way somebody is dressed say to you about them? Does it send any message at all? I mean, for example, if you see a young woman with a lot of revealing low, you know, their cleavage showing, I mean, does that send a message at all?
In a way, yeah.
Okay, in what way? That's what I'm talking about. Just the dress, whatever the dress may be. What message does it send? What kind of, how does it communicate to you about that person?
It depends, because some people take it negative and some people take it positive.
Okay, what about you?
I'm either or. Depends on the type of person that they are.
Okay. How do you determine that? I mean, because what I'm saying now, just listen to me now. We're talking about, you may not even know this person, okay? But you see this person. All you're doing, we're talking about nonverbal. You don't really know them. You see them. They're dressed a particular way, or they have a particular posture, because that's something you noted at the very beginning, Jace. I mean, if somebody comes in, their shoulders are rolled, their head is nodded, they're looking at the floor, what does that say to you about, or does it say anything to you about the person? Usually it does. It conveys something. So that's what I'm talking about. Just your, when you eyeball somebody, what does it tell you?
Because, well, when you go with, like, dress, you got to look at everything, not just the way the clothes. Because mm-hmm. some girls could pull it off, like, you know, have they have their hair done, their nails done, toes mm-hmm. done, and everything, and look good with it. But if somebody else was to do it that didn't have their hair done, didn't have their toes done.
So everything's got to be in place.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
As an A, I haven't heard from you. I didn't get you. Because what we're talking about, again, is looking at nonverbal communication. What message does it send to you when the person doesn't say anything and all you do is just observe them?
What message does it send?
What kind of things do you look at?
I just kind of look at everything. I'm a psychology major, first of all, so I'm very, like, observant, and I read people. I see what they're doing, their actions, and just kind of, it'll kind of give me, like, a story that they might, that might be about them or be related to them, if that
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, as far as a message, I don't really, like, see a message.
Okay, for the, okay, yes, Takiyah.
Okay, I see a message. Like, if I see a girl with her, like, her boobs revealing or tight clothes, mm-hmm. I think maybe she has low self-esteem problems. And, like, if she do these things, like, she think that boys will notice her more. Or she just want attention from everyone. So she feels she dressed this type of way or wear her pants this tight. Boys will notice her. She would get more friends.
Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about. Now, you said that about a female. What about a male? What kinds of things do you pay attention to?
Like the skinny jeans. Like, I feel like a lot of these boys want to seem cool and be like Lil Wayne. Like, since they see him on the TV, they feel, okay, let me buy these skinny jeans. All the girls will want me. They'll mm-hmm. think I got Lil Wayne swag or something. Mm-hmm. I feel they just do it to fit in.
Okay. All right. Other comments? Michelle?
I was going to say, little do those boys know that get those skinny jeans. When us girls are watching the award show and Lil Wayne's wearing the pants, we're like, what is he wearing?
So it does not have the response that they may think it has. Okay. Well, as we look at communication and we look at areas where there's a lot of discord, there's a lot of vehement response between students or a child and parent. I think you touched on this, Takiyah. What are the areas that are the most difficult to talk about with your parents? All of you had said basically you have a good communication with your parents, except there's some things you don't say, and Michael's smiling, except there's some things that you don't talk about, okay? What are those some things that you don't talk about, and why? I'll start with you, Jason.
We don't talk about the tattoos, and we don't talk about the motorcycle.
Okay, like, and why?
It's just because, I mean, growing up, they were always the big nose. You know, those were like one of the nose. I mean, I don't know, it just kind of happened. But, like, luckily for me, my parents live, like, they moved to Chicago, so when I go visit them, it's always cold, so mm-hmm. I got on my long sleeves. They don't ever know. I got on my sweatshirt. They don't ever know. They come down to And it's bad because, you know, I'm probably older than all y'all here, but, like, I'm still you know, little kid to them.
Always so will be to your
come
parents.
Down, they come down to visit. Motorcycle goes to my buddy's house, you know. I pull it out. I take all the stuff out of the garage. Everything looks like, you know, all I have is the Jeep. And that's what it is. But, I mean, I just don't talk about that kind of stuff with them. I just
And why?
Because I knew it was always the no. And I didn't want to disappoint him because I'm the only one. So I wish I had, like, a little brother to be like, oh, man, he's a great guy. But it's just me, so.
Okay. So you knew that what I hear you saying is the areas that you have avoided were areas that you knew were going to create some emotional response. They weren't happy with it. You knew they didn't like it. So the best way to handle that was just to avoid it.
That's it.
Okay. Michelle.
I feel like the only thing that I don't straight up talk to my dad about is sex.
Oh, okay.
That's probably it.
And why?
Just because he's my dad and he would probably just, like, freak.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, like, sex is a big topic and, like, drugs and alcohol and all that type
you hit
of stuff.
It. Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, try not to talk to my mom about it and try to figure it out on my own.
Okay. What would happen if you did? I mean, why do you try to avoid those areas?
Well, I know my mom, she told me before she did it. And I don't want to be like the one and be like, okay, she did it, so I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Trying to set an example.
Okay.
Well, sex is the same thing with me. I never talked about it with my dad. He passed away when I was real young, so he's not going to bring sex up. And I'm like only 6 years old.
Right, right.
But with my mom, it took us a while to start talking about sex. I'm sure your parents don't want to hear you say, oh, mom, sex, da 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 da. Like, you're still her baby. She doesn't want to hear about that stuff. So I recently started talking to her about it. I feel comfortable talking to her about it.
But you all are assuming she doesn't. She might want to hear. She might be able to give you some advice. I mean, that's just the other side of it. And I think that sometimes parents and their children, they make assumptions. And maybe, I'm just throwing this out here, I don't know. You know, maybe you might find that they would be very receptive. If you can almost say anything, it's how you say it. You know, I know you've probably heard that before. So it's how you approach it. Just throwing it out there, Takiya.
Sex. Okay. That's a big topic. Like, and then a lot of girls from my neighborhood or back at home are getting pregnant. So I'm like, ooh. I definitely don't need to bring it up now. But I don't understand, like, why she wouldn't approach me with, like, everyone getting pregnant so young. Like, she should, like, inform me of it, or she should think, well, maybe I need to talk to her about it because I don't want her to make this mistake, or I would want her to know, like, the things she could do and use. Like, I'm mad that I had to find out on my own, like, okay, you got to use this, you got to take this. So to keep it safe, like, I think that parents should know, like, you should talk to your kids about it because they won't have to, like, sneak and do it or make it a big problem. It'll be hard for them to talk to their kids about it.
That is an excellent point. And I really want to say thank you for sharing that because I think for our listening audience, that's something that they really need to hear. I think that if parents heard that more often, that they might make the effort to try to talk about it. Because if they knew that you all really do want to talk about it, but you don't know how to approach it, you feel a little bit apprehensive and reluctant, but you do really want their advice, that would be very beneficial. So I thank you for saying that. As an A, when you add to that, and I'm sure you have some insights because you went to therapy to work on your communication and relationship with your mom. What kinds of things did you glean from therapy?
Well, we pretty much talk about everything. There's nothing really that we don't talk about, especially, you know, being in college and being so far away from home. We talk about sex. Well, is this your boyfriend? Is that your boyfriend? Do you have a boyfriend? You guys having sex? Are you drinking? Are you doing drugs? I mean, I don't want to tell my mom everything that I'm doing. Obviously, I don't want to be, yes. But no, mom, just a little, mom. But it's nothing big taboo. There's no taboo between us.
That's fantastic. And but that all came out of therapy. Out of therapy. Yeah. How long were you in therapy?
About a year.
Okay. And that's one of the goals I assume. Uh-huh. Okay. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. Ethicist Corner presents Daily Dilemmas That Life Hurls Our Way. What would you do if... Do you use a previous term paper for an assignment in a class?
No.
Okay.
That's the best way to get kicked out of school, right there.
Okay, so you say no. What about some of the rest of you?
I wouldn't use word from word, but I would, like, look at what they're writing and get the idea, like, what I should be focusing on, but get, like, different, like, backup information from different websites, but, like, the same topics. Like,
I'm saying using the same. Sure. I'm saying using the same paper.
Someone else's?
No, it can be your paper. Oh. It can be a paper, let's say, you did a year ago. In sociology, and now you're in an education class or a psychology class, and you could use that paper. Do you use it?
I'm going to say we know that we're wrong for doing it if we do it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to say I wouldn't do it.
I appreciate your honesty. Okay,
Information doesn't change. I feel it's the same information. Like, it should be the same information now. Like, I don't think anything would change on the topic, so why not use it? Like, it'll save you some time.
Okay, I want to hear from everybody. You know, how do you feel? Would you use that same paper over again?
I mean, I would. It's my paper. I wrote it. Like, how can I plagiarize what I wrote? I mean, so why not?
Okay, so you just changed the title and submit it in a different class.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
I do the same thing, change around work, like just change a little bit of stuff, nothing major.
Okay, so you would make some changes to it.
Just a little bit of tweaks, not much.
Why would you feel it's necessary to make some changes to it?
Because I'm scared teacher's going to find out, because some schools you have to enter an essay to a website and do all that stuff. And I ain't trying to get kicked out of school. So, yeah.
Okay, I haven't heard from you, Esme.
Well, actually, I have done it. I did it. I did it last year. It was a paper from my senior year in high school. It was for my psychology class. It was like an about me paper or whatever. Just changed my name, class, date, and I turned it in. But then this year, I had a teacher tell me, well, that's plagiarism. Even if it's your work, even if it's from last year or whatever, it's still plagiarism. But I did it. I'm not going to do it again.
Okay, so you wouldn't do it again. And what made you change? Because a teacher told you?
Because somebody told me before. It was just, I didn't know. If no one had ever told me, I would probably still keep doing it. But now that I know, I don't want to do it again. Because if I do, and I do get kicked out, it wouldn't be because, oh, nobody told me, I didn't know.
Okay, so you're saying you can't say you don't know.
Right.
You recognize. You're nodding your head to keep.
I feel, what's the chances of them finding out? Unless you tell them.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just, this is not a right or wrong. I just wanted, you know, this is one of those ethicist questions that we pose. You know, just what would you do? Do you use the same term paper in a different class?
Yes, because they wouldn't find out. They have bigger issues to worry about at the school than to be worried about if you plagiarize your own work.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it for today's ethicist question. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. This hour, we're exploring communicating with parents. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me again at the roundtable, I welcome Jason McCullough, Azanay Solomon, Ashley Brock, Takia Allen, Michelle Basson, and Michael Roberts. Right before we went on break, we've been talking about communication, looking at various aspects of communication. What impact does age have on communication from your perspective? Do you find that if you see somebody is elderly, you feel like you can't talk with them, or you feel like you can't talk with them? But let's look at age and see what how that variable influences your communication with adults.
I think it's got a lot to do with it. I think by me being older, mm-hmm. like, you know, I understand why, you know, me and my dad would get in fights for not finishing up one bar of soap before I open up another one, or not finish eating one meal before I do another one, turning the lights off. Because now it's like I'm paying for that rice, I'm paying for that air conditioning. Mm-hmm. And so now, I mean, we talk a lot more. We talk about a lot more stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I don't tell them, but I think it's a lot easier to talk to him now that I'm older and he's a little bit older as opposed to when I was younger, mm-hmm. you know, so. Mm-hmm.
So, again, what I hear you saying is that the communication has improved with just your maturity.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. All right. Michelle, does age influence your communication at all?
Yeah, I would say I agree, but, like, when you're little and you're young, when your teacher or something talks to you, you don't look them in the eye. You're, like, looking at the floor. You're like, oh, what did I do? And now you look them in the eye, you know, you actually talk back and you don't just sit there and listen and not really know what's going on. Like, you just have more of a sense of the world. You know that you did wrong or that you should have done this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. So, again,
just becoming a little bit more sophisticated,
yeah.
Having better judgment and insight into just the world and the individual you're talking with.
You just have to learn to fit in with society.
Okay. All right. Michael, you agree, disagree? Where do you sit on this?
I agree because, you know, now that I'm older, my mom could, you know, come and talk to me about anything that, you know, that she's going on with her life. And mm-hmm. I try to help her with her problems, and she helps me with mine. So, like, not only is my mom just my mom, but she's, in a sense, like my best friend, too.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic to hear you say that about your mom. Great.
I feel like when you get older, you've been through a lot of stuff, so you know you're more aware of things. You're able to give feedback. Like I said earlier, you're more mature. You're able to understand a lot of things. So,
okay.
I agree.
You agree with her? You look like you're pensive. You've got a lot of thought going in there.
What was the question again?
Well, I'm just kind of looking at the different variables that influence communication. What impact does age have on your communication?
When I was younger, like, I really didn't ask a lot of things because I didn't have my hands on it yet. Mm-hmm. But once I got older and start, like, seeing it in movies or hearing my friends talk about it, like,
you look like you're not quite sure on it.
Like, I don't know.
Okay. All right. As an A.
What was the question? One more time.
Age. How does it influence your communication? Okay. When you look at age, okay,
mm-hmm.
what impact has it had?
I think, you know, kind of age, I mean, conversation gets better with age because it's like you have more experience under your belt and there's just so much more knowledge to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, I have a great aunt that I talk to all the time and it seems like she knows everything in the world.
she's been through it all, and she can tell you this and that, and just gets better with age.
Okay. As we look at communication, because communication, again, involves a number of things. I think you mentioned it, Michelle, eye contact. And looking or communicating with someone, is it important that you make eye contact with them? If you don't make eye contact, how does that influence your communication lines? Do you feel if somebody's not looking at you?
I feel like it's disrespectful because that's how I was raised. Like, my mom would be like, don't look around when you're talking to me. Look in my eyes. Like, because you can tell if somebody's lying or anything looking in their eyes. And I also felt like when you get older, other people talk to you about more things. Like, older people will talk to you about more things instead of us talking more. You know what I mean?
Is it important for you to make eye contact with someone when you talk with them, Taki?
At first, I like see how the person is. Like, some people feel it's disrespectful to look them in the eye. Like, that's you. Like, it depends on where you're grown up from. Like, some people probably think I have to look at my mom in the eye. Some people probably think, like, my dad would probably, like, be mad at me if I'm staring him in his eye. Like, he doesn't intimidate me or anything. So, like, I first, like, look around to see, like, how this person will react or, like, which way would they want me to look, like, things like that.
So you brought in something that we haven't talked about, but culture. Because, as you said, culture is going to dictate a lot about our behavior. Some cultures, you're supposed to look, when you talk to someone, you're supposed to look at them eyeball to eyeball, so to speak. Others, you, like I said, may be offended if you look at them. What role does culture play in your communication patterns? Jason.
I mean, it's huge. You know, my dad, you know, he was in the military. I know I look everybody in the eye. I think it's a respect thing. You know, I feel like if you can't look me in the eye, then you can just tell me anything. And a lot of times, and I figured that out, you know, growing up. A lot of times when you look away, that's when the lies and stuff start to come out, and, you know, all the random stuff. But, you know, you look him straight up, and, you know, he can, you know, see, you know, that you're trying to be truthful and honest and up front. I mean, sometimes you might look him straight in the eye and still lie to him. But, you know, they're going to figure it out.
Right.
Yeah, it's a big factor.
So you see that as being very influential. I'll just go around the table because I'd like to hear from each of you about culture. If you're wondering what we're talking about, it's about culture and how it influences your communication.
All right. My dad is a Canadian Jew. My mom is Catholic from South Florida. And they were totally different, but, like, being with my dad's family, like, they eat different food and everything. They talk to each other differently. Like, my dad will say stuff, like, just to piss off my grandma, just because he wants to, because he can. Like, my mom's family, they try to avoid all that.
Okay. And so where do you fit in all of this?
I'm a little bit more to my dad's.
So you'll just say things to get a reaction to some degree.
I used to do that growing up all the time. Like, I know in high school at one point I told my parents I was gay just to see if they would hate me.
And how did it work?
It didn't. She was like, I'll accept you no matter what. And I was like, dang it.
It didn't work. All right. What about you, Michael? How does culture influence your communication?
Not too much, not really. Like, it's all the same, like, coming from, like, my dad's side of the family. You know, we're real close, even though, like, they're more older than me. Like, my cousins could be, like, 40, 50 years old. And on my mom's side, it's more, like, more laid back. Like, we more, like, when we used to live in California, we had more get-togethers. Like, we spent Christmas, Halloween, Thanksgiving, any type of gatherings, always together. So it was more of a family thing, which which helped a lot.
Okay, and so am I to gather that the communication on the mom's side was a lot more open and vivacious than the guy?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, Ashley.
I want to say with Michael, communication, they're both open. Like with the eye contact, I was never raised, oh, you need to look me in my eye when I'm talking to you, or don't look me in my eye. But as I was growing up, I noticed that people were saying, like, you need to look me in my eye when I'm talking to you. Let me know that you understand what I'm saying. So it was never really stressed that, like, certain things that you do need to show that you understand what I'm saying when I communicate with you and stuff, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, since my dad is from the islands, like, he look at things different and, like, he's more stricter. So, like, if I wouldn't look him in the eye, he would feel it was disrespectful or, like, I was testing him or something. But his side seemed to be more open. Like, I could talk to him about anything. Mm-hmm. For, like, in at, like, my mom's side, like, it was, like, looking, like, it was more in respect to looking the elderly in the eye, making sure they understand you and things, but it wasn't a big deal.
Okay.
Well, I'm Nigerian, and so looking somebody in the eyes is a respect thing. So, like, if I'm talking to you and you're not looking me in my eyes, lets me know that you don't care about anything I have to say. You're mm-hmm. off in la-la land mm-hmm. somewhere. So I always try to look people in the eyes. Sometimes I get tired of looking people in the eyes, though, so I'll be like, but I try to make the eye contact, mm-hmm. and if you're not trying to connect with me, then I'm just like, you're not somebody I need to be talking to.
Okay, all right. When you hear the term reading between the lines, what does that mean? What does that mean to you,
Michelle? It's like seeing what somebody's saying when they're not actually saying it. Like, if they say, go get that over there, but they're, you know what they're talking about mm. most of the time. They'll point or something.
Okay. All right. Does it mean the same thing to you, Ashley, reading between
yeah,
the lines?
Exactly the same thing. Like, yeah, pretty much.
Reading between the lines?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing Michelle said.
Meaning, elaborate on that. I mean, when you're saying pretty much, if somebody says you're reading between the lines, what does that mean to you?
You have a better understanding. Like, I don't have to directly say, do this, do that. Like, common sense, like, pretty much.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to get how you all interpret this. There's no right. You don't have to worry. It's no right or wrong. I just want to know when someone says reading between the lines. Yes, ma'am.
I was saying, but sometimes people expect you to know. Mm-hmm. Like, if your parent says, clean the dishes, you're supposed to read between the lines and clean the kitchen.
Oh, like, okay. Okay.
Sometimes people expect you to know what they're saying and you don't.
Okay.
I guess, I mean, it, maybe just growing up how, I mean, just, you see, my parents used to say, you know, there's always different sets of rules mm-hmm. for different kinds of people. And the majority of my friends were, you know, white guys. And, you know, a lot of times when we go out or whatever, she always say, Jason, don't forget the rules. You know, and I would assume that, you know, I can't go out and do everything that they do because maybe something might different might happen to me or something like that. You know, I can't. I guess it was just kind of the gray area.
Mm-hmm, the unspoken kind
exactly,
of gray.
Like, I'm not going to say, you know, say something out loud, but it's understood that, you know, I should travel in this way mm-hmm. and not, like, you know, do okay. whatever.
Okay.
To me, reading between the lines, just it's everything that's not said. Either you know it or you don't know it, and if you don't, ask questions.
Okay.
I feel like reading between the lines is like you're trying to hide something. Like, you should just be straightforward. Like, I'm a straightforward person, so. But okay. I understand, like, you know, reading between the lines, like, it is basically common sense.
Okay.
Some people say, use reading between the lines, so, like, they don't want to, like, say it straightforward. To, like, get you, they think that you should know it without them having to say it. That's why they, like, read between the lines.
Okay. As we look at communication, one thing we haven't addressed is exactly the terms that are the words that people may use, meaning, do they talk and speak in standard English? Do they use Ebonics or whatever? How does that influence how you communicate with someone? I mean, if someone is like, yo, what's going on? Does that say something to you? If somebody whistles at you, hey, or, you know, makes a sound, what does that say to you? Will you continue a conversation with someone like that?
If someone whistles at me, like, I wouldn't even, like, pay them any attention mm-hmm. because I'm not a dog. Mm-hmm. you're not a safety patrol guy on the road. Like, I just feel it's disrespectful to do that to a woman. Like, have some respect. Like, come to me in a respectful manner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't look at them seriously.
Okay.
I feel the same way Takiya does. Like, show some respect. Don't talk to me. Hey, come here. Like, don't whistle. Yeah, I'm not a dog. Show me respect. I'm a woman. Like, and on top of that, that's a part of growing up, too. You understand more stuff and how to approach people.
So you think that has to do with maturity,
yeah.
too? Okay. All right. Any other comments?
I mean, I think you're going to adapt to where you're at. You know, if I'm sitting here and I'm talking to Michael, I'm going to talk to Michael a lot differently than I'm going to talk to my district manager or something like that. Or
mm-hmm.
if I'm up in Georgia with my friends, we'll talk completely different. And then when I go somewhere else, it's like I don't even speak English for a while because we just have this whole backwoods thing going.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just depends. I think you, like, adapt to where you're at and what you're doing, and then it changes how you, you know, how you speak, your tone, how you talk to, who you talk to, you know.
We have, what, about a minute left, and I'd like to get from you suggestions that you may offer to teens who are having difficulty communicating with their parents. Just one suggestion that they may do that may aid their communication. Because, you know, communication is such a issue where you often have parents complaining and students complaining. Jason, what would you suggest?
Pretty much just get it all out there now, because there's going to be a time where you're going to want to have that conversation, you're going to talk about that certain situation, and they're not going to be there. You know, they're going to have gone away, passed away, whatever. So go ahead and get it on out now while you can, because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Okay.
I would say parents, make sure you communicate and let your kids know that if they ever need you, that you would be there for them. Because I feel like that's just the most important part, is to have somebody there for you.
Okay.
Well, like, when I was younger, like, I think, like, teens now, they shouldn't be scared to speak up. Like,
okay.
People will reject you and it will accept you. It just depends on how you take it, so.
Well, we've run out of time. That's it. For our listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Many thanks to our panelists for the stimulating discussion. Audio copies of 411 Teen are available, and if you would like to participate in the program or suggest discussion topics, call toll-free 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. To subscribe to the 411 Teen podcast, log on to WFSU.org.